Good morning, everyone. Hi. All right, we're going to start. We'll start. All right, let's pray. Let's pray first, eh? Dear Lord, thank you that you want to communicate with us, that you do communicate with us. Please help us to hear you. As these readings have brought up for us this morning, what we need to say is, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Help us to adopt that position, Lord, where we are listening. And as it says in John, that the sheep will hear his voice, that we will hear, understand, recognize, and follow the shepherd. So we sit with this in our hearts this morning, Lord, and help us to be open to hear from you, to be guided by you and your will for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, good morning. It is nice to be back here again, sharing with you. This is our kind of debrief sharing as a Link Church. You are not just our Link Church, but our sending church, our home church. And this is the second time that you guys have sent us out on overseas mission. 2008 we went to Tanzania, and then we've just come back, for those who don't know us, from 3 years in Papua New Guinea. It's very nice that there are people here who don't know us, which means that church has changed and grown in the years we've been away. So that's quite cool. So it's about 5 years ago, or over 5 years ago, we started this discernment process. We knew God was wanting us, sending us, somewhere, but the world is quite a big place, and to choose where to go was quite tricky. So it was five years ago we started this discernment process, and then COVID stopped us and delayed us a bit. But yeah, we've just come back from 3 years. In Kapuna, which is in the Gulf province, I describe it as the underside of the banana of PNG. There's a photo up here of Kapuna in the jungle swamp. It's a very isolated space. There are no roads to get there, just boats. The Kapuna Hospital was built in 1949, and the first missionaries there were Christian missionary doctors from Balclutha. And it's amazing because their family, there's still some of the original family there who are still serving and committed their lives to the people in this swamp. So we're really lucky when we go in there that we can fly generally by bush plane into a remote landing strip. They have to call ahead on some of the, there we are, there's Kapuna. So you can just see the vastness of the nothing, just all swamp and jungle, and then that's the spot where Kapuna is. And that's our main highway, which is just a river. And yeah, so to get to the bush landing strip, sometimes someone has to go out there with their bush knife and trim the grass so that the plane can land. And then we've got a four-hour riverboat ride to get into Kapuna, into this beautiful place. It's just stunning. It's really so untouched. So our roles have changed quite a lot in the time that we've been there, particularly Scott's. We were just very open to serve in any way that the people needed us. My original plan had been to go and do physiotherapy in the hospital and then homeschool the kids, but that we just wanted to serve, and so that didn't quite work out the way we wanted it to. But anyway, what the community needed was for me to run their local store there, someone who could communicate with suppliers in Port Moresby and get groceries and fuel to run the community and the boats, and manage the team and grow the team. And any income that we had in the shop then went to support the school and the hospital. So that was my role, became my focus during school hours. And Scott ended up working in every part of the community. He started off with the tools and the workshop with the guys building the construction rebuilding of the hospital. And then he was able to grow and mentor some of the guys into site managers there. So there were two key site managers and roles he developed, so that the local guys were then were managing the workshop team, so then he could step back and still with some oversight, but then step into the project space, and he'll share quite a few of the projects that he was involved in a minute. But even in there, he didn't want everyone to just be dependent on, you know, Westerners coming in and doing the job, so he was really conscious and intentional about growing the local talent and picking people who could really grow into those spaces and communicate with international donors and get projects running. And so then, even from then, he sort of stepped back. He had Barty and some other guys in the projects office working in there, and then the management kept pulling him in to conversations about strengthening their management team. So that's where he's been working now. Again, he'll tell you more about that. But we feel really privileged to have been part of this journey and working with Gulf Christian Services. They and Kapuna Hospital. There are two hospitals, so Kapuna, this one, and then 4 hours up the river, there's Kikori Hospital. And Gulf Christian Services are really amazing in the way that they really do share God's light and love in this dark space. As I've said to you all before, you know there's a lot of sorcery and witchcraft in this area, and that's just part of the culture in PNG. It's very normal. And so, but it's really heavy. And the people are really hungry for something different, for the story that the gospel brings of forgiveness and grace and good news. Because the cycle that seems to stem naturally there is that if there's a wound, if there's an accident, if someone dies, then there's this kind of retribution cycle and retaliation. So something happens to someone, then you have to pay back. Then because you've done something to that family, they pay back. So then you have to kill someone or hurt someone or burn something. And it just keeps going because there's no way to stop it. And so they get stuck in this cycle and it stops everything. And so this message of the good news of grace, Jesus, forgiveness, that just stops that cycle is so refreshing, and they're so hungry for it. So that's a huge part of what Gulf Christian Services do, is they do discipleship outreaches and into these villages. They take groups of people from different villages, so different language groups, such a diverse language. There are 840 or so languages across Papua New Guinea, so almost every village has a different language. So GCS brings people in from a particular language group and disciples them, teaches them about the stuff about Jesus and forgiveness and grace, and giving them some strength to then go back into their village context and their language and then share the good news. So that's a huge part of what Gulf Christian Services does outside of the hospital. And it's just really incredible. Even if there's a crocodile attack in a village, then the sorcerer is generally behind that. And so then there's a retaliation thing that goes on there, that the sorcerer has caused this, and he'll own it. He often believes that the crocodile is called the sorcerer's canoe. It's his vehicle. And so anything that goes on is the sorcerer's doing. It's a really interesting space, but such a blessing when the good news comes into there and just changes things up a bit. So, and then in the hospital, there's a very big Christian focus in the hospital. So everyone who comes in for medical treatment gets prayed for. If there's any sorcery links, there's a lot of deliverance and stuff that goes on there. Very different kind of spiritual context on a day-to-day basis than what we generally are exposed to here. But a lot of prayer that goes on in everyone's lives in the hospital. And they often leave feeling, well, medically better, you'd hope, but then also quite spiritually different. There's a different feeling in Kapuna. And so people then take that back to their village and go, why is that? And they will link it to God, which is really special.
So since I last spoke to you 18 months ago or so, I've still been heavily involved in leading the projects team. There's quite a few little projects that we're working on, so I'll just share a few this morning. The first one is Cuck's Sewing Project. So it was an idea that myself and a Dutch lady had, where we would bring in ladies from the surrounding villages and just give them some basic sewing skills and also some basic business skills. I'm pretty useless on a sewing machine, so I just focused on the kind of small business side of things. And eventually, we decided to run an actual sewing business within Kapuna. So we hired some of the ladies who, we put them through a bit of an interview process, and we hired them to work on this project. So Nikki would bring in materials from Port Moresby, and these ladies would sew these beautiful dresses and shirts and all sorts of really neat things. Then something happened with the project. We started making money. We started to make a profit, which is really exciting. So we're like, right, what are we going to do with this? And that's when we decided to link with Days for Girls, which is an international organization focusing on menstrual equality. and we started manufacturing these kits. It had reusable pads and waterproof liners and bag and soap and undies and all these things that are crucial for a girl to help manage her menstrual cycle. And this was a really big problem in the area because it would cause young girls to miss many days of school. So to be able to roll out these kits and a bit of an education program, not just to the women, but we also did a program called The Men Who Know, and it was a program working with village men to help them understand this as well. So it was a really exciting project that's still running. We're producing thousands of these packs that we're getting out and about. We started in Kapuna in the primary and intermediate school. We did some distributions and some sessions with them, and then also Kapuna's or GCS's nursing school. And then now we're starting to go out, partner with the hospital and their medical patrols to get these kits out and about in remote villages. So really exciting project. The next one that I worked on the last 18 months, this is a sewing building, so it was really exciting that we managed to secure some funding from Total Energy. It's an oil company or energy company. And we built this new building for the ladies to call their own. So it had a fan and it had a kettle that they could have morning tea, electricity, toilets. So it was just a really nice space for the ladies to run the sewing business and also the Days for Girls program too. Then there was water. So you'd think in a swamp there wouldn't be too many water issues, but clean, potable water, and particularly in the dry season, was very challenging. So in the rainy season, our water tanks would be full of beautiful fresh rainwater, but we've been hit with some pretty hard dry seasons, and that quickly runs out. So I found a local drilling company, Baptist Drillers, got some more funding, and we drilled here's a picture of of us drilling in Kikori Hospital, the other hospital. It was very challenging, but we, after lots of prayer, we found fresh water at 60 meters, and it tasted really nice and produced 5,500 liters per hour of fresh, clean drinking water. So this was not only able to help supply the hospital in the dry season, but we had people from the community coming far and wide when their water sources run out to fill up their containers. So it was a real blessing to not just the hospital, but the wider community for their own water needs too. The previous photo was me backing a 8-ton tractor and drilling rig off of a pontoon onto a small little barge that we controlled with a stick. The metal ramps for the barge were too wide for the tractor, so we had to put bits of quila across. So this is one of the most nerve-wracking moments of my life, backing this tractor and trailer onto a moving pontoon that was held by a few rusty chains, but by the grace of God, we made it. And it was also really neat for this community. Kapuna, the only wheeled vehicle that they've seen in Kapuna was a wheelbarrow, so then to then be driving a tractor in there was quite a scene. People just gathered around and were pushing to see this moving wheeled vehicle in Kapuna. It was pretty cool.
Scott was like a superhero because most people can't drive or they've never even seen a vehicle, let alone driving. So Scott in this vehicle was just like, the stories will just keep going for decades. So it was quite fun to be part of that and see everyone. It was like when you're watching fireworks and people go, oh, ooh, wow. And everyone, like hundreds of people from all the villages would come along to see because they knew this thing was happening. So it was quite a cool experience.
Good fun. And then the next thing, so even though we rebuilt most of the hospital, there was one area that was neglected, and that was the tuberculosis ward. We didn't have enough funding to rebuild the TB ward, and that was the one that was kind of in the best condition compared to the rest, but still in really bad condition. Tuberculosis is one of the major issues in the region. And with Kapuna, the medical staff have this system where they keep them from 6 to 9 months in the hospital. They don't let them go. And that's just so they can take the full course of the tuberculosis medication, because after a month you start feeling good, you stop taking your medicine, and then it becomes, you start getting those drug resistance. But the place that they were staying wasn't a really nice place to stay. So the next slide you can see a rendering of the new TB ward. I've been working with a Dutch company to get the designs drawn up. We've got funding again from Total Energy Company. They've blessed us with the funding for this. And this will be the largest building that we've built in the swampy area of Kapuna. When I first arrived, we built a school over the swamp. And we just had to basically just drive these steel poles down as far as we can go. So yeah, a little bit nervous about building in such a swampy area. If there's any engineers out there who would like to help with some foundation design, please let me know. But we're hoping to start building this in the next couple of months. We've got the designs finalized and some materials are being delivered. I could really talk to you about projects all morning, all afternoon, but I'll just finish on this last one. And this is a really incredible partnership with Samaritan Aviation. So essentially, it's just a water ambulance. They just signed the MOU last Monday, and they've had their first outreaches last week. And we share a similar goal, and that's basically just to help people with healthcare in remote areas and spread the gospel. So they share a similar goal to GCS, and we've signed an MOU. They're going to be building some staff houses, a hangar, and there's going to be two float planes based at Kapuna Hospital now. And just to give you a little idea about what a blessing this is when our hospital staff go on medical patrol, they sometimes have to go, I think the worst one is they have to go 3 days by boat, and then 2 days they have to hike all the vaccines, medical equipment into the bush. So that same 3 day journey would only take 20 minutes on the float plane. Because as you can imagine, the rivers are really, really windy, so it just takes, as the crow flies, it's much quicker. So this is a very exciting partnership, and they've done the medical patrols and outreaches last week. So it's a really exciting partnership.
Sorry, taking over. If you're on Facebook, you can follow Kapuna Hospital on Facebook, and then Samaritan Aviation are now also on there. And they put out quite cool videos this week. So they're an American organization, but they've put out lots of videos of the first medical outreach with the float plane going to one of these remote villages, and everyone's just dressed up and dancing and welcoming these guys in. And it's just super exciting for these really remote places to sometimes, like this village that Scott talks about that's so far away, if you've got someone who's really sick and you do a medical patrol, if they still need hospital treatment, how do you get them to the hospital? You carry someone and then boat for, 5 day journey to get back to the hospital. Sometimes it's just impossible. So simple things that should be treated sometimes don't, and people lose their lives. So to have a float plane like this, they can get so close and then actually transport a patient back to the hospital is literally life-giving. So there's so much appreciation and gratitude. And so in one of these float planes, I think they're five-seater?
5 to 6.
So 5 to 6. So you take, it's like kind of like your ambulance, and you take your paramedics. So you take some medical personnel and bits and pieces on it. But then they always take a pastor with them. So there's always a pastor who's going to preach and share the gospel, share the good news. And so every outreach is not just medical, but it's spiritual. It was so cool. Okay, I think I'm up. Okay, next photo. This was a lot of work stuff, and then there was ministry. So this is our church in Kapuna. Hours and hours and hours of sitting on a wooden floor. And it's funny, when you look around, you can see everyone's, all the PNG, their ankles, the ankle bone on the outside here has like hard calluses, and it's because they sit on the floor like that for hours from when they're really tiny. And all us Westerners are like, they even put a bench at the back of the church for the white people, because we just can't sit for that long on the floor. Anyway, next photo shows us this is just part of the group, but of some amazing people that we've just spent the last 3 years journeying with. Young couples, we were approached by one. The first couple who came to us, they were on their sort of dating journey. They started together, that's the guy with the blue shirt there, and his wife with the little baby in the front there, and standing next to Abby. This couple came to us when they first started dating, and they were just like, can you guys give us some help on how to navigate this? Because, so Papua New Guinean culture, they have the bride price ceremonies where you like purchase your bride, and there's a whole lot of cultural stuff going on there, and then you have this Christian message of what the Bible says about a covenantal, loving, sacrificial relationship like Christ in the church. And then you have the social media and Western movies, which is what you should expect from a relationship, which is quite different too. And so these people are trying to navigate this kind of cross countercultural weird stuff, and they're like, I don't know what to do. And their PNG culture is generally that you don't talk about anything to do with relationships. So they want to do things differently, and they want to grow, and they want to treat each other better. And being faithful is not, monogamy is not generally part of their culture. So they didn't want this. And so they didn't know how to talk about it. So it was really cool that these guys came to us, the first couple came to us and said, can you guys help us just discuss some of this stuff and work this out? And so we started, and Ray Muller was really helpful and got us connected with the Alpha pre-marriage course. And so we started doing the pre-marriage course with these guys, and then more and more couples came. I think we had 8 couples by the end. Who kept coming and do the pre-marriage course with us, so we could go through and talk through all this stuff with them and navigate some of their things, understanding a bit about their culture, and then we would also seek advice from people to find out more about their culture so that we could still be really culturally appropriate and sensitive with them, but then be able to help them. So this was so cool because we journeyed with them from their dating through to their marriage, so we went to quite a few weddings, and then to the point where these three had babies while we were there, and it was just so special. This one baby with blue, so the guy Nigel has a purple shirt and his wife Amuru with the blue dress. And they had their baby a few days early. I had joked, I said, please go into premature labor so that I can see your baby before we leave. And it did. John was born the day before we left. So we got to see these guys and had lots of baby cuddles. So we ended up forming a house church with them, a house group where we did once they were all married, we did the Alpha course, the marriage Alpha course with them as a group, and alternated that with our Bible studies. And it was really special because we could encourage them as a group of young people to talk together, you know, to discuss the issues they were having, and really build this strong, monogamous, healthy Christian relationships. And so it was really special. That was one of just the best parts for us of being there and being part of their families, really. Okay, next photo, I think this was, this is a photo from a bride price ceremony. We can see the woman would be brought down the river on the canoe to meet with the husband's family. And this is just some of their traditional outfits and the conch shell, and it was quite a cool experience to see this. But okay, and then the next photo, this was something quite special, is our kids' experience in Papua New Guinea of just quite a different experience of God and Christianity in this space. Living in a community and a school where there was just a very strong missional outreach focus all the time. So the kids would be in the school, they'd be Christian teaching in the school, devotions every day, and then they would all get together and do dramas to go and present to the hospital, to the patients. And so they were constantly reaching out in a very missional way all the time. So that was quite special. There was some... So this is Isaac decided to be baptized while we were there, which was just so exciting. So we had this full immersion, and I'd say it's quite no way to feel closer to God than being baptized in a croc-infested swamp, eh? So this was a very spiritual, close God experience for us. But it was just such a unique, just showing of the kids' growth in their relationship with God. And there were a lot of very challenging times. The kids know what it's like to be in a minority and be picked on because of the color of your skin and because you're so different. So there was lots of different challenges and experiences we had there. And lots of interesting conversations. When there was one wonderful time, I thought, when you feel like you've really done well as a parent, there's a lot of times you don't feel like that, but this was a great one, where the kids were having some sort of moan about some real silly first world problem. And Scott was like, do you know what, come with me, and marched them down to the hospital where there's this really young girl who was in a really, really terrible way. She was in from one of these far off villages, and I think it had malaria, right, but hadn't been treated. And then a whole lot of complications, and her eyes were bloodshot because of side effects of medications, and she was swollen, and just kid the same age as our kids in just the most awful situation just because their parents couldn't afford to get them to the hospital. And we were like, there was just this moment. So Scott sat down with them and chatted to this child and got our kids to just get perspective for a moment, you know. And it was just so, there were so many moments like that that was just so beautiful. So remember it, kids. there's a lot of growth in us all as a family too, so some special times. I think the next photo, yeah, there's just some other jungle life stuff. So Levi had skinned a python, as you do, and then wore it as a bandana for a few days, and as a wristband sometimes, depending on what mood you might be in. This is casually peeling a mango with your bandana on. They're constantly making fires that burn our garden waste, or go fishing in the little creeks. And as you do in places where you don't just have countdown down the road, if you want to have a little snack and you want to have some meat, you go and catch a fish and then you gut it and you cook it on the fire. And even lizards. So I think that fire ended up having a couple of monitor lizards cooked in it for lunch. And so it was just, there was some quite cool bush experiences, which we haven't quite replicated. We won't be cooking lizards here, just for all of those who are worried about us.
So that's just a little bit of a look back with the last 18 months out of our 3-year trip. But now, like Nikki said, GCS has been around since the 40s, late 40s. But over the last 5 years with the hospital rebuild and various different partnerships, they've experienced a lot of organizational growth. So they've gone from, in the last 2 years, from 70 to 200 personnel. And it's put a lot of pressure on the organization from their leadership structures and their processes. And over the time that I was working with them in their in the projects team, I spent a lot of time also working with the executive team, just doing a little bit of leadership coaching and some mentoring. So they asked me to present a way forward for them as an organization. So I presented in November what's called the Entrepreneur Operating System. And now they've asked if I could roll that out over the next 2 years. So I'm actually leaving a week on Monday to go back to Papua New Guinea for 3 weeks. So I'll be working remotely part-time and then traveling about 3 times a year for 3 weeks at a time over the next 2 years to implement this new system.
Yeah, so that's a bit of an update from us and what things are going to look like going forward. So in a very PNG way, I wanted to release you all from your obligations for your commitments in supporting us as a family. PNG say this, so Papua New Guineans, when you go over to someone's house, you're not allowed to leave until they release you. So there's often this, when they came over to our house and we went in this habit, they would often be sitting there late at night being like, guys. And so we release you, and then they're out. So we got a new system actually. When we welcomed them, we said, you're free to go. And then they just go when they want. But anyway, so we wanted to formally really appreciate you guys and thank you for the support that you've given us, for the prayer, for the finance, for everything. And I know the church is committed as our sending church to, and our home church, to continue to support Scott going forward. But as a family, we are now based back in New Zealand, and so thank you for your support, and we release you from that if you feel like you want to stop supporting. But also invite you that Scott is now going to be a New Zealand based globally focused mission partner. That's right, eh? And so he is still, for the next 2 years, in a contract with New Zealand Church Mission Society and GCS, with regular reviews to see how it's going, but is still working as a mission partner and still needs support for his income and travel and things. So if you would like to continue to support, please do through NZCMS. And we've been sending out update emails. If you're not on our email list and you want to be now added to Scott's email list, there's a sign-up sheet at the back for your email address. Did you say this is the exec team? This is the exec team for GCS. They had a training day when Scott was mentioning this, showing them this entrepreneurial operating system. And so they did that, like, you know, you do the serious photo and then the funny photo. It's the funny photo. So he'll be going back, and as soon as he lands in our Gulf province, We actually need some prayer around that because they're having a fuel crisis at the moment in Papua New Guinea, so most of the small bush planes aren't travelling, and we desperately don't want Scott to travel by road. So we really need God's hand to provide some fuel for him to get into Baimuru. And then he'll be meeting with these guys, staying with them, camping in the bush for a week, trying to do to really get them working on strengthening the organisation. They're all such busy people doing their jobs, but they haven't had a lot of time to just strengthen the organisation, and their jobs will become easier and everything will be more stable, and be able to continue to do this work for longer if they're a stronger unit. So this is quite crucial for them, and so Scott will be flying straight into the bush to hang out with these guys before they then go back to their hospitals. So yeah, there is a CMS video. I'm not quite sure if that is going to work. But CMS have been amazing in supporting us. They've been incredible at just sort of anticipating our needs. And then when we've had really tough times in PNG, they've been amazing at being there and guiding us and supporting us. We've been so grateful for them. And then as we've transitioned back, they've also been very aware of the things that we will find challenging and allowed us to have more space, actually forced us, don't start work too soon, you're going to have to process some stuff, and then giving us counselling and things. They've been really, really good. So we've been really grateful for them, and they've asked us to play this little video too, so let's see if it goes.
Kia tau te rangi Māori e kia koutou. I tonua mai a hau e te matua, kia pērā no taku tono kia koutou. It starts with a flutter, a hope of a dream, a whisper of fear, a story grown, a calling woven. A still, small voice.